Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
The text for the sermon this evening is from 2 Chronicles, the 34th and 35th chapters. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father. And he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet a boy, he began to seek the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the Asherim, and the carved and the metal images. And they chopped down the altars of the Baals in his presence, and he cut down the incense altars that stood above them. And he broke in pieces the Asherim and the carved and the metal images, and he made dust of them, and scattered it over the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He also burned the bones of the priests on their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And in the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, and as far as Naphtali, in their ruins all around, he broke down the altars and beat the Asherim and the images into powder and cut down all the incense altars throughout all the land of Israel. Then he returned to Jerusalem. Now in the 18th year of his reign, when he had cleansed the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. They came to Hilkiah, the high priest, and gave him the money that had been brought into the house of God, which the Levites, the keepers of the threshold, had collected from Manasseh and Ephraim, and from all the remnant of Israel, and from all Judah and Benjamin, and from the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And they gave it to the workmen who were working in the house of the Lord. And the workmen who were working in the house of the Lord gave it for repairing and restoring the house. They gave it to the carpenters and the builders to buy quarried stone, and timber for binders and beams for the buildings that the kings of Judah had let go to ruin. And the men did the work faithfully. Over them were set Jahath and Obadiah, the Levites, of the sons of the Merari, and Zechariah and Meshullam, of the sons of the Kohathites, to have oversight. The Levites, who were all skilled with instruments of music, were over the burden bearers and directed all who did the work in every kind of service. And some of the Levites were scribes and officials and gatekeepers. While they were bringing out the money that had been brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given through Moses. Then Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan. Shaphan brought the book to the king and further reported to the king, "All that was committed to your servants they are doing. They have emptied out the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have given it into the hand of the overseers and the workmen." Then Shaphan, the secretary, told the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read from it before the king. And when the king heard the words of the Lord, the law, he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah, Ahiakim, the son of Shaphan, Abdon, the son of Milcah, Shaphan, the secretary, and Asaiah, the king's servant, saying, "Go inquire of the Lord for me and for those who are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written in this book." So Hilkiah and those whom the king had sent went to Huldah the prophetess and wife of Shallum the son of Tokath and son of Harsh, the keeper of the wardrobe. Now she lived in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and spoke to her to that effect. And she said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring disaster upon this place and upon its inhabitants, all the curses that are written in the book that was read before the king of Judah. because they have forsaken me and have made offerings to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the words of the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath will be poured out on this place and will not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding your words that you have heard. Because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and its inhabitants, and you have humbled yourself before me, and have torn your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the disaster that I will bring upon this place and in its inhabitants. And they brought back word to the king. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites, all the people, both great and small. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in the book. Then he made all who were present in Jerusalem and in Benjamin stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations from all the territory that belonged to the people of Israel, and made all who were present in Israel serve the Lord their God. All his days they did not turn away from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Josiah kept a Passover to the Lord in Jerusalem, and they slaughtered the Passover lamb on the 14th day of the first month. He appointed the priests to their offices and encouraged them in the service of the house of the Lord. And he said to the Levites, who taught all Israel and who were holy to the Lord, put the ark in the house that Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, built. You need not carry it on your shoulders. Now serve the Lord your God and his people Israel. Prepare yourselves according to your father's houses by your divisions, as prescribed in the writing of King David of Israel and the document of Solomon, his son. And stand in the holy place according to the groupings of the father's houses of your brothers, the lay people, and according to the division of the Levites by father's household. And slaughter the Passover lamb, and consecrate yourselves, and prepare for your brothers to do according to the word of the Lord by Moses. Then Josiah contributed to the lay people as Passover offerings for all who were present, lambs and young goats from the flock to the number of 30,000 and 3,000 bulls. These were from the king's possessions. And his officials contributed willingly to the people, to the priests, and to the Levites. Hilkiah, Zechariah, and Jehiel, the chief officers of the house of God, gave to the priests for the Passover offerings 2,600 Passover lambs and 300 bulls. Conaniah also, and Shemaiah, and Nethanel, his brothers, and Hashabiah, and Jeiel, and Jozabad, the chiefs of the Levites, gave to the Levites for the Passover offerings 5,000 lambs and young goats, and 500 bulls. When the service had been prepared, for the priests stood in their place, and the Levites in their divisions according to the king's command. And they slaughtered the Passover lamb, and the priests threw the blood that they received from them while the Levites flayed the sacrifices. And they set aside the burnt offerings that they might distribute them according to the groupings of the fathers' houses of the lay people, to offer to the Lord, as it is written in the book of Moses. And so they did with the bulls, and they roasted the Passover lamb with fire according to the rule. And they boiled the holy offerings in pots, in cauldrons, and in pans, and carried them quickly to all the lay people. And afterward they prepared for themselves and for the priests, because the priests, the sons of Aaron, were offering the burnt offerings and the fat parts until night. So the Levites prepared for themselves and for the priests, the sons of Aaron. The singers, the sons of Asaph, were in their place according to the command of David. And Asaph and Herman and Jeduthan, the king's seer, and the gatekeepers were at each gate. They did not need to depart from their service, for their brothers the Levites prepared for them. So all the service of the Lord was prepared that day, to keep the Passover and to offer burnt offerings on the altar of the Lord, according to the command of King Josiah. And the people of Israel who were present kept the Passover at that time, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days. No Passover like it has been kept in Israel since the days of Samuel the prophet. None of the kings of Israel had kept such a Passover as was kept by Josiah, and the priests, and the Levites, and all Judah and Israel who were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In the 18th year of the reign of Josiah, this Passover was kept. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our midweek sermon series, Snapshots of Repentance, which began on Ash Wednesday, continues tonight with a snapshot of Josiah, whose snapshot was chosen for Maundy Thursday in part because Josiah kept a Passover unlike many others. All such Passovers pointed to and ultimately were fulfilled in both the supper that our Lord Jesus Christ himself kept on this night and in the sacrament of the altar that he on this night instituted for us to keep until we together keep the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. As some of you may remember from our midweek Bible study more than a year ago, or you may know otherwise, Josiah was the last godly king in David's line before the people of Israel were exiled to Babylon. Josiah apparently was raised by a faithful mother and given good counsel during his reign. As you heard when I read the text a few moments ago, under King Josiah, apparently with Assyrian power fading in the north, foreign gods were removed from Judah and parts of Israel. A book of the law was rediscovered in the house of the Lord, and the Passover was kept like none other since the days of Samuel the prophet. Like kings before him, Josiah was collecting money for repairing the house of the Lord. And apparently either in the treasury box used for that collection or in the carrying out of that collection, the work that collection funded, perhaps even in a cornerstone of the building, a book of the law was found. The book may have been a scroll or scrolls containing part or all of what we call Deuteronomy. Or perhaps it was a collection of all 5 of the books of Moses. Maybe even, as one commentator speculates, a copy in Moses' own handwriting. From the book, Shaphan the secretary read, perhaps a chapter dealing with curses such as exile, for breaking the covenant, Shaphan read to King Josiah, who already at least should have known the book's contents. The book of the law, found in the time of Josiah, may or may not have been the same as the book of the covenant that we heard about in tonight's Old Testament reading. But the covenant that the Israelites made with God under Moses applied equally to the people under Josiah, and also, at least in its moral code, to each one of us today. The Israelites under Moses had said that they would obediently do all that God had spoken. And the people under Josiah similarly said that they would walk after the Lord, keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes, and with all their heart and with all their souls, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in the book. And for example, at our confirmations, we vow to live according to the word of God, and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death. Like the Israelites under Moses and the people under Josiah, we may have trouble especially with the first commandment, that to have no other gods. When we do not keep that commandment as we should, we also do not use his name as we should, or regard his word and sacraments as we should. Our wrong worship may not lead us directly to sexual immorality and child sacrifice, as it did for the Israelites under Moses and the people under Josiah. But we all still sin in those and in other ways, for we are sinful by nature. And so, on account of our actual sin and our sinful natures, we all truly deserve nothing but temporal death and eternal torment. The prophetess Huldah privately confirmed for King Josiah what the disastrous consequences of his and his people's sin would be. But she also recognized that Josiah had a repentant heart. For when the king had heard the words of the Lord, he was inwardly humbled, and so he outwardly tore his clothes and wept. Josiah not only recognized the Lord's righteous anger over his and his people's sin, but apparently he also trusted in the Lord's mercy and grace. Like Josiah, we hear God's law and are inwardly humbled, even if we do not always show such outward signs of repentance. And out of the depths, we cry to the Lord, as we did in tonight's psalm. For with the Lord, there is forgiveness, that we may trust in him. There is steadfast love or mercy and plentiful redemption. Like Moses and others before him, Josiah mediated a covenant, if only a covenant renewal, between God and the people. But of course, the greatest mediator was the God-man, Jesus Christ, who not only mediated the covenant or testament in his own blood, but who also, by shedding that blood on the cross, paid the price for our breaking God's commandments. Unlike Josiah's exceptional Passover that sacrificed thousands of lambs, Jesus' fulfillment sacrificed himself once and for all as the one spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Ultimately betrayed by Judas, denied by Peter, tried by the Sanhedrin, beaten and crucified under Pontius Pilate, he was once slain, but rose again, and now lives and reigns as our eternal King. As he himself said in the gospel reading, he poured out his blood for many, meaning all. And as Moses and others representing the law, and representing the people rather, ate and drank in the presence of God, so do we eat and drink in the presence of God here. By way of bread and wine, we participate, as the epistle reading put it, in both the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. And so we who are baptized and repentant believers here receive forgiveness, life, and salvation. So forgiven, we bring forth the fruits of faith according to our vocations. Josiah's faithful mother raised her son in the faith. Josiah himself exercised his authority as king, including encouraging the true worship of God and discouraging all false worship. Other spiritual and secular leaders also similarly fulfilled their vocations, including voluntarily and joyfully giving what was needed for the worship of their community. We do likewise. Parents and leaders, clergy and laity, serving in all the roles that God gives us, and of what he has entrusted to our care, giving what is needed for the worship of our community. God showed mercy to Josiah, forgiving his sin and essentially putting off until later the people's exile. But that did not mean the rest of Josiah's life was without hardship. He died, for example, in battle. And soon after, the people, many of whom perhaps had never really been reconverted under Josiah, returned to open idolatry and later were exiled. Josiah's reign has been described as the last merciful visitation of God before the exile, as is then also said about the proclamation of the gospel in our times being the last merciful visitation of God before our Lord's final coming. So, with repentance and faith, we live each day in God's forgiveness of sins, extending his forgiveness and our own to all with whom God brings us into contact. like the snapshots of repentance before him, Josiah's has been an example of both repentance and forgiveness. An example that not only instructs us about our repentance over our sin, but also comforts us as we receive God's forgiveness for our own sin. This year's midweek Lenten sermon series concludes tomorrow night with the priest's atonement for sin. But yet tonight, we participate in the atoning sacrifice that Christ has made for us by way of the meal that he this night instituted for us. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.